Welcome back. Thanks for being with us. Some other sports finding some difficulties as well, not just the world of AFL. And Super Rugby is actually back this weekend with the opening round of the 2020 Australian Super Rugby season. It starts tonight. Melbourne Rebels General Manager of Commercial Ross Zenos has been good enough to give us a couple of minutes of his time to tell us how the Melbourne Rebels are fighting to keep their season alive and keep this Super Rugby season up and running. Firstly, welcome to you, Ross. Thanks for your time.
Great to be here, mate.
You've sort of been lost in the wash a bit, but I'm sure you're having just as many troubles as everyone involved in national sport at the moment. And in essence, you're an international sport that's having more troubles than most, perhaps.
We certainly are, mate. Look, totally cliche, but everyone's dealing with a pretty unprecedented situation. We had our Super Rugby season suspended 7 rounds in back in March. And then since then, the closure of international borders has meant that a competition between Australian, New Zealand, Japanese, South African and Argentinian teams really wasn't an option to resume. And we've worked pretty hard behind the scenes with everyone within Australian rugby to launch the 2020 Vodafone Super Rugby AU season tonight. So the Reds will host the Waratahs tonight up in Brisbane, and then we're looking forward to getting back on the park tomorrow night in Canberra to take on the Brumbies.
So it's a modified competition. How's it going to work overall? How's your final system going to happen? When are you going to play till? When's it look like ending? Is it all just fluid at the moment, or have you locked that all down?
No, so we've mapped a way forward. So obviously this weekend, round one, 10 rounds of competition. It's a five-team tournament, also including the Western Force, who are based out of Perth. So over the next 10 weeks, we'll play 8 games and then a two-week final series culminating in a grand final, which we'd love to be hosting here at Amy Park on the 19th of September.
So for those non-Australian teams, what's happening with them?
Yeah, so each country has gone away and essentially crafted their own competition. So in New Zealand, they've launched their domestic version of Super Rugby, and they've been going now for 3 weeks already. And we've seen some really high-quality rugby, some great to have full stadiums full in New Zealand, given where they're at with COVID-19. And it's just certainly whet the appetite of everyone back in Australia for the imminent launch of our Super Rugby AU competition. South Africa and Argentina are developing their own competitions as well to run in parallel with our own domestic comps. And I think for us, some of the things that we've seen happening across the Tasman are really positive, both in terms of, like I said, the quality of the footy, but also huge uplift in the broadcast audience that those games have been getting. And we're really excited to be getting back out and playing again, because we'll be only the second professional rugby competition on the planet to recommence post-COVID. So it's a pretty new format, obviously, for us to only be playing against the domestic teams. But certainly with Wallaby Test matches coming up in October, November, December of this year, it really is an absolute sprint towards those tests for all of our players to put their best foot forward and put their hand up for national selection.
So how long are the Melbourne Rebels going to have to relocate for, do you think?
That is a wonderful question. If you knew the answer, please let me know.
Okay.
But look, like everyone's currently dealing with, and obviously our colleagues at the Storm have had their relocation to the Sunshine Coast. Our team's currently been in Canberra for a week. We'll relocate into Sydney in preparation of our match next Friday night. And then what our movements are after that are currently still being determined. It's obviously unlikely that the team will return to Melbourne in the next couple of weeks in order to really make sure that the competition is able to continue and to run uninterrupted without any further COVID complications coming from the recent spike in cases in Victoria. But obviously, the sooner that we can get back to Melbourne and the sooner we can get back to playing at Amy Park, the better for us, albeit that we know that we've got a responsibility to the game in general to be on the road for as long as the medical advice says that we should be, and to be as flexible with our logistics and planning as we can be through that time as well.
All your players are rugby professionals. Have any of them said, no, we can't do it?
No, so at this point in time, we've had no players that aren't willing to be part of the touring party. We've got a squad of or a full touring group of 50 people, including players and coaches, that are currently on the road in Canberra. We've obviously got a pretty interesting situation where the timing of our season has naturally been shifted back, which has had an implication in terms of some players already finishing their time with us in 2020. So, you know, a guy like a Rebel stalwart, Luke Jones, has recently departed the club to take up his next opportunity overseas. But at the same time, whilst we've lost a couple of guys because of the change in timing of the season, we've also been able to replenish with some pretty exciting talent. So tomorrow night in Canberra, we've got four debutants for the Rebels, led by a guy called Mike Stolberg, who's actually a Queenslander who's been plying his trade in Japan for the last couple of years and has actually been given this unique opportunity now because of how the comp has shifted to play Super Rugby with us and put his best foot forward for Wallaby selection. And then we've got other debutants, young Josh Kemeny, who's a very exciting back rower, and then really excited to see big Trevor Hosea, who's a local Melbourne boy, Victorian rugby product, get his debut off the bench tomorrow night in the second row. So, yeah, look, it's certainly a totally different challenge for our players to deal with. But with every challenge that this situation has presented, there's massive opportunity and some silver lining as well.
Talking to Ross Zenos, Melbourne Rebels General Manager of Commercial. One more, Ross. I know you've obviously looked at the other sports and how AFL is handling it and the players in the AFL are handling it. Where are the rugby union players on the overall spectrum of cricketers' tour? They're used to being away. They go to India, they can't leave the hotel and go down to the 7-Eleven for a block of chocolate. So they are in lockdown, in essence, when they tour anyway, the Australian cricketers. So they're used to touring and being away, and they would accept it if they were told they're away for 6 weeks. Footballers are not used to it, so a few are saying, well, 6 weeks would be way too much. We're even struggling with three. Some are struggling with one or two. Where are rugby players on that spectrum?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, for our code being a truly international game and playing regular fixtures globally, you know, our playing group and our coaching staff are certainly very accustomed to long-haul travel and for touring. You know, in a normal Super Rugby season, we would have gone on a 2 or 3 week tour of South Africa or Argentina at one point in time or another. You know, for many of our players, they've played overseas with overseas clubs in overseas competitions, so they're used to being, you know, away from home for months on end to be part of those campaigns. And then we're very fortunate also that we've got, you know, a number of Wallabies in our group, you know, probably led by Matt Tamua, who plays his 100th Super Rugby game tomorrow night. Our captain, Dane Haylett-Petty, Australia's best player, Marika Korobidi on the wing, and so on and so forth. These guys are used to having to tour with the Wallabies and being away for months on end. I mean, last year's World Cup campaign saw them being away for 2.5 months just for that period. So, you know, it's probably something that comes a little bit more naturally to rugby players, given that they've had a little bit more experience with it. But at the same time, we're certainly aware of the anxiety that can come from the uncertainty of not knowing where the end point is. And that's certainly something that we're working really hard on at the moment to try to give as much clarity to the team and to the players so that they know exactly what their movements are going to be over the course of the next 4 to 6 weeks. So that's one variable that they can mentally park and at least plan themselves out for the next couple of months and perform at their best.
And one more quick one. You give me a rough ballpark as to what the lowest paid player in the competition might earn in a normal Super Rugby season, not for your club, but the whole competition, and what the highest earner might actually get. I was just trying to get an understanding of the spectrum of the professionalism of players who play your sport.
Oh, yeah, mate. Look, I can assure you that we're a fully fledged professional code.
No, I'm not doubting that at all, Ross. I'm just trying to work out whether you've got million-dollar players and whether you've got, you know, minimum like AFL players of 80,000, 90,000. So, you know, where are you on that spectrum? That's the AFL spectrum. Yeah, so, I'm trying to work out where you are in alignment with that.
No, appreciate that. So our entry-level contracts sit at just a tad under $50,000 a year. And then our highest-paid players within the sport are exceeding that million-dollar barrier. So, you know, without getting into the specifics of who's who in the zoo, there are some players in our sport who are earning more than $1 million a year. And then there's the, you know, the, those first year apprentices who are taking their opportunity, who are earning just less than $50,000 a year. So our salary cap for each of the Australian teams is $5.5 million on our top 40 players. So you know, certainly from the economics of our game and our sport, we get a lot of pressure from overseas competitions based on what they're prepared to pay for talent. I think it's pretty well accepted that there's a number of mid-tier players who are probably earning less playing in Australia than what they could be if they chose just to head overseas and take the most lucrative contracts that they could. But such is the quality of the Super Rugby competition and such is the passion to wear the Wallaby jumper that we see a lot of players obviously stay in Australia and grind it out to go on to higher honours.
Yeah, great stuff. I really appreciate that, Ross. It's pretty comparable to the AFL when you look at that spectrum as well. Great to have you, and congratulations on getting your season going, and good luck to your players. Let's hope you're not away from home for too long and you get that grand final at Amy Park.
That's the plan. Thanks, Dwayne. Speak to you soon.
Ross Zenos, Melbourne Rebels General Manager of Commercial Competition, starting this weekend in Australia. Take a break. Got a little surprise for you after the break, so stick around. It's going to be an interesting little surprise. We're going to talk Olympics, bizarrely enough.